To the vet we go.
You've got to pet them so they can feel it.
Heavy petting on 95 BFM. Thanks to Pet Doctors.
Good afternoon, E from Pet Doctors.
Yeah, g'day, g'day. How's it going?
How's it going, mate?
Ah, oh, can't complain.
How's the pet game?
Sun shining.
Have you had any interesting cases come into Pet Doctors West Harbour today?
Not overly. A couple of sick animals, but I don't think they, from a species point of view, it's interesting. Just the usual, dogs and cats, a few dental things to do. So.
Just on that, E, if somebody brings in a like extremely rare, like random sort of Madagascar falcon or something highly illegal, is it? Do you have to report that to someone, or what's the vibe there? Would you just fix it up and be like, that's Buzzy? Carry on with your day.
I think ethically you probably do need to let the authorities know.
Let MAF know.
Okay. Yeah, from a what we call a notifiable organism point of view. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so if I do have a Madagascar falcon and it's got like a cut on its foot, what should I do? Because I can't, obviously can't bring that in.
Hypothetically, is this like a hypothetical situation?
Yeah, sure.
You might be able to go get some Elastoplast from the pharmacy down the road.
Oh, Elastoplast.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's quite easy then.
Yeah, a bit of pressure, a bit of, shall we say, first aid.
Let's move on to the terrestrial sort of norms now. My dog's nails are very long. Do you have advice for cutting them? How do I cut them without hurting him? Last time I cut them, I hit a vein and he bled everywhere. I've heard of this happening quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, especially the...
That's terrible for the animal, far out.
Yeah, especially the black nails, because what they're talking about in terms of the vein is what they call the quick, which is sort of kind of similar to our cuticle. If you look at our nails, the pink bits are sort of that, the cuticle bit. So if you've ever lost a nail, and I've just lost a couple recently.
Because their nails are their nails are so thick. Eh? And I'm actually thinking Guinness Book of Records now. You know when like a shaman will grow their nails on one hand real long? We actually start growing nails through there. So do dogs sort of have nail... we start growing veins in there. Do dogs actually have veins in them, like... stock standard or?
No, not so much. It's the cuticles, which is where all the little blood vessels and all the nerves are, nerve endings are. So that's why it does hurt a little bit. If you trim it too short, it does bleed. You can sort of train them to have their feet sort of touched and do it gently. And if you look at dogs with white nails, they're really easy to see where that quick is, the painful bit is, which is the pink sort of bit going to the tip of the nail.
Right, right.
And so just like our nails, you just trim a little bit of the white bits and leave about a couple of millimeters before the quick, and often that's enough to usually in most dogs stop you from cutting it too short.
If I don't cut my dog's nails, what happens then? It just kind of skates around on the wood floor? Or?
Yeah, it depends on the dog a little bit. Most sort of large dogs tend to wear their nails down quite well, walking on hard surfaces like concrete. And some little dogs do tend to have longer nails. They don't tend to wear them down as much.
House dogs.
Probably because of weight, yeah. The ones that are more of a concern are the what they call the little dew claws, which are similar to our little sort of big toes on the back in some dogs, and the little fist digits on the front legs, where if you don't trim them in some dogs, they actually curl over and they can actually start sort of pushing into the pad and
going back
painful.
In.
Yeah, and that can be really painful. So it's for some dogs that happens as well. So depends on the dog a little bit.
Okay.
It's worth just potentially trimming them if they are getting quite long, because it can actually affect the way they walk in some cases, especially older dogs who are a little bit arthritic as well.
Just get in there, take it slow.
Find a nice spot, sit with them on the ground, give
put
them
some
a
nice
treat.
Nice music on.
Yeah, put some romantic music on. I'm sure they're
maybe give them a brush as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much in a pat.
Sounding like an evening, man. Open fire, real close by, or what?
Make it a nice experience.
Okay. Don't forget the treat.
Give it a treat if it does right.
Absolutely. And my suggestion is err on the cautions, be more cautious. Take a little bit off at a time rather than sort of try to take too much off, and then fine, you'll never get near them again.
Do you have like a regular, like, a rough time, like between cuts I should be cutting my nails off my dog?
Yeah, it's a little bit dog dependent, but most dogs we see here probably once a month or once every couple of months.
Oh, wow. So quite frequently.
Is there a specific tool as well, or does like...
Depends on what you like. Yeah, depends on your preference.
You have dog nail
special
clippers?
Dog nail trimmers. Yeah. Oh,
Some people should probably use those as well.
But that's
There are little ones that look like little guillotines as well, which some people prefer as well. Mm. So there's a wide range.
Yeah. Or just a cigar cutter, if you got one.
Pretty much, yeah. Hey, looks like that.
Moving on now, this is a bit of a classic. What's the best advice for managing fleas on my cat and or dog? Are all flea treatments created equal?
Yeah, I guess best advice is treating often. Auckland, especially with our warmer weather.
I was going to say, it's a summertime situation, sort of throw down.
Yeah, the trouble in Auckland is it stays warm and humid. Humidity is the other factor that allows fleas to grow quickly. And as well, that it's ideally you should treat all year round, even in winter. I mean, if you're like in the middle of Dunedin, which is kind of where I grew up, you probably wouldn't be treating as regularly because it's colder. But certainly treating the animals regularly, and sometimes you have to treat the environment as well, because the adults live on the animals. They suck the blood from your cats and dogs, and then they poop on your cats and dogs, and this poop, and they lay their eggs on your cats and dogs too. So as your animals walk through the house, those eggs get distributed through the house. It is a good idea to from time to time treat the environment.
Can I catch fleas off my dog?
Of course you can.
You can get bitten?
Can I? No, but like full blown, like, oh no, we both got fleas. Yeah, man. And then we both have to cruise around with like one of those space dog outfits.
Yeah, I think I once caught a human flea from the Newmarket train station. So most of the fleas you catch are actually sort of that you get bitten by often the cat flea.
That makes sense.
Different breeds. Cats. Yeah.
Hey, also, just on that, we were wondering if you can you get a cold from a dog or a cat?
Technically not.
Okay.
You can get bird flu from a dog, I think. There was a reported case a while back, but I think technically not.
So I can just sort of, I can go back to pashing my dog as much as I want, kind of thing.
Yeah.
People do that. Oh. The people do it. They love
sharing your ice cream with your dog.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't recommend it for other reasons, more from a parasite.
Oh, parasite.
I thought you were going to go on the whole dating route.
Oh, no, hang on. So here we go. You can get it. You can't get a cold, but you can get parasites.
Okay. You can. And I mean, the parasites like worms, they don't, like gut worms, like round worms and woodworms and hookworms that dogs get, they can be passed on to humans, especially kids. You know, the old sandbox sort of issue. My child does this. Basically, everything goes in the mouth.
Mm. Yeah.
So what happens is we can ingest the eggs or the parasites.
Yeah.
They don't go to the guts like they do in the dogs, but you can get what they call abnormal larva sort of migration, where there's reports of some of these larvae going into the eyes.
Oh.
So it can be pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And apart from the fact too that dogs do have anal glands that they squirt from time to time, and they do lick those quite regularly too.
Yes.
So
okie dokie.
Yeah.
Check, please.
probably not a huge fan of anal gland juice flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
Man, that is the sentence I didn't think I'd hear today, but there we are. Okay.
Now, well, why does my cat bite or scratch me in my sleep? Yeah. How can I stop this?
It's trying to save your life.
One sentence answer, lock the cat out of the room.
Nothing can be done.
Cat says.
It is an option, but I mean, cats do bite and scratch for different reasons, and sometimes it's they want to play.
They want
attention seeking, and they can either be giving you affection. Affection, and they can also be sort of hounding you to get affection as well. You do get some cats that do that because they're anxious as well, so anxiety can sort of come into it. So it depends a little bit on timing, While it's at night, depends on whether it happens just before bedtime. Are they hungry? Some cats who are weaned too early can suckle and bite as well, and often they can bite a bit harder than what they should because they didn't sort of learn the boundaries from their mothers. So there are sort of different reasons why cats bite, and a lot of it can sort of revolve around attention-seeking behaviors. So trying to figure out exactly what time of the night they do it can be useful. Because redirection is a very good good sort of method to try to, I guess, retrain them to either bite less hard or not at all.
I think you nailed it with locking the cat out of the room, actually. That was real good.
Yeah, it's a very easy fix, basically. But if you're like my cat, basically, she'll literally try to bowl the house.
Scratch the door down. I moved into a house a couple of years ago, and the door to the bedroom, cat has basically scratched a hole in the door, nearly right through. I'll send you a photo.
Yeah, and I think I had to say to you last time, my cat's got terrible separation anxiety. She does pounce on my foot from time to time underneath the blanket, so I try not to move my feet if possible.
We've had a question just come in. This is quite an interesting one. It says, my Labrador has a big husky bark, but immediately following that, he wheezes like he's run out of air.
Oh,
how can we man up his bark?
Oh,
they want him to sound tougher.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think is going on there?
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with him?
It could be something wrong with him, especially if he's an older dog. Some dogs, their bark changes, not because of age, but because there is something going on.
Yeah.
And a condition that you can get in some older dogs is where their larynx, which is sort of the opening to your windpipe, can potentially... the vocal folds sort of can become paralyzed, and it sounds a little bit like, you know, when you got a doing some DIY, you get your saw out and you're trying to saw a piece of wood. It sounds a bit like that. It's quite husky. I always find it's a good description. So it's not necessarily that it's just him. It could be that there is something else going on. So chat with your vet and probably get them checked.
Go to Pet Doctors.
Yeah, come see us.
Go to Pet Doctors. Should we? We've got another text in here.
Let's do another one.
This
one,
I think this is. I predict this to be a marking of the territory situation. My cat keeps on. Oh, kia ora, heavy petter. My cat keeps on peeing in the corner next to our toilet door. It's like a squirt. Any solution, please?
Depends on whether the cat's sort of an inside cat or an outside cat. Do they actually have a litter box inside the house? So if you get it, they can peeing can be for different reasons.
I suspect that right after this event, it becomes an outside cat pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty quickly, I think. So some cats, there's a difference between when they spray versus when they're actually just going to the toilet with a pee.
Is spray kind of like a lion, eh? It's like that.
They lift the tail, they shake the tail, and then they sort of back up, slowly.
It's coming, little skunk situation.
Yeah, it's a bit like a truck, you sort of, in your head you can hear that sort of beeping noise as the sort of car truck backs up.
You painted a great picture, actually.
and then they shake the tail. So, I mean, from that perspective, if you get a cat who's spraying like that, it can be a territorial thing. Versus a cat who's peeing in the house, either because if they use a dirt box, the dirt box could be dirty, or if they're going outside, if they normally go outside, you might have a new cat in the neighborhood who's scaring them to the point that they're not wanting to go out. So there can be sort of different reasons why they do it. If you got a cat who's using a dirt box in the house, changing it regularly will help. Having a couple in the house will help, even if you've just got one cat as well.
The all very expensive cat bathroom for itself.
Yeah, the all hooded cat bathroom.
Just give it like a spray down area.
Yeah, we had to confiscate our bath mat from our cat because she kept peeing on it. So it's like,
it's so zany.
She liked the texture. I think she just liked kneading on it, and then it's like, it was a homemade one too. So it's like, yeah.
Nice. another stellar edition of Heavy Petting, I think.
Yeah. Hey, E, thank you very much. Anyone out there listening that needs to get their pet checked out, we implore you to head along to Pet Doctors.
There's dotted all around the country.
Yeah, all over New Zealand.
We've got quite a few clinics around, so yeah, have a look on Mr. Google, and yeah, we'd love to see it.
Right on, E. Thank you very much, mate.
No, thank you. Have a good day.
Excellent.
Cheers. See ya.
Bye-bye. Is my dog molting or balding? Heavy Petting on 95 BFM. Thanks to Pet Doctors.